After mourning the deaths of world-renowned AIDS researchers and activists killed in the downing of Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 over eastern Ukraine, the International AIDS Conference in Melbourne, Australia, convened despite the loss. The gathering's broad agenda included adopting a goal to end the AIDS epidemic around the world by 2030 and reports on progress on new AIDS treatment strategies using anti-cancer protocols and expanded access to tuberculosis treatment. The nature of the AIDS crisis has changed dramatically since the disease first emerged in the early 1980s. Since 2005, global AIDS fatalities have fallen by nearly a million deaths annually, and new treatments have been effective in blocking transmission of HIV/AIDS. Former U.S. President Bill Clinton expressed his optimism, telling the AIDS conference he saw a steady march in the global campaign to stamp out AIDS. Still, Clinton sees many challenges ahead, including an estimated 20,000 children who will be infected with HIV every month, mostly in Africa and Eastern Europe, regions where there is little access to effective AIDS treatment. Fear of AIDS and social taboos against people with AIDS have blocked important public health initiatives. A report by the Open Society Foundations found that local police prevented IV drug abusers from obtaining clean needles in Russia, Burma, and Vietnam, while over 70 nations continue to criminalize same-sex relationships, thereby making treatment for AIDS a criminal offense. Over the past 8 years, and with U.S. support, there were plans to build a billion-dollar power grid from new hydropower plants in Central Asia to alleviate the shortages suffered by Afghanistan and Pakistan. The premise was that in the summer months, melting snow fills reservoirs beyond capacity in Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan. But winters create shortages in these areas due to a crumbling Soviet-era water and electricity infrastructure and results in generated electricity that is not easily shared. As the U.S. military presence in Afghanistan winds down, the dream of a regional energy hub has stalled, in part due to China grabbing up large amounts of energy contracts and Central Asian nations fighting over future hydropower projects. The World Bank has pledged $530 million in grants and loans for the power project, and the United States $15 million, with hopes to lessen Russia's influence. Although Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan are in favor of building the new dams, it is not without controversy, and downstream Uzbekistan fears losing water supplies. Uzbek President Islam Karimov has even warned that construction of the dams could provoke a war. After a packed July 4th weekend, Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City sent out 1,000 layoff notices with a threat to close down in the fall. It's a sign of the times for Atlantic City's sinking casino economy, as three casinos have announced plans to close after Labor Day, leaving 7,000 casino workers on the unemployment line. Observers of the casino industry say Atlantic City's troubles have been driven by falling revenues linked to the luring of customers to new casinos in neighboring states, including Pennsylvania, New York, and Maryland. They also point to the failure to make Atlantic City an all-season entertainment destination like Las Vegas. By diversifying its attractions, Las Vegas is now much less dependent on gambling revenue to stay profitable than it was 10 years ago. In These Times magazine reports that Atlantic City unions with thousands of members in the gaming industry intend to ask New Jersey elected officials to become more engaged in preventing massive job losses. One demand is to have the state lean on casino owners like Donald Trump, who was reported to have had a buyer for his Atlantic City property last year but failed to finalize the sale. The unions say the state has every right to force these owners to sell to somebody who can keep the city's casinos open. This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Denise Manzari.